schools are, and people don't see this behind the scenes, there's a lot of pressure on schools. It's not always, you know, schools' individual choices, but the focus has been very much on efficiency. So if you take that argument, me or us offering three languages under that analysis is considered inefficient. You could have them doing one language and you have fewer teachers and you could have bigger class sizes, but that goes against, you know, what we believe in. And also we're always very conscious we're a rural school and we don't want to disadvantage our young people.
So in terms of, whilst you've been head teacher at Thomas Mills, has your provision there for languages changed in that time?
We've gone against the trend, and it's true. It's the same. We have the same approach, of course, I want to say, with sciences and the arts and technology, for example. We have, in fact, introduced a third language, which was we always had Spanish at GCSE, but it's relatively new. It's in its third year of us introducing Spanish in year seven.
And is it popular? Is it, you know, do in your experience, do the kids enjoy learning languages? Do they thrive at it?
They do, again, because it's part of what we do and we make that clear from the outset. If you made it a free option, as what has happened now, so you'll find even some very good schools will have limited GCSE provision. Children perceive they don't like it or that it's not as accessible. And I think the new GCSE, I'm told, will become even more accessible, which is a good move. So, yeah, children do. Sometimes they find it a little bit sort of tricky, and particularly if you go onto the higher grades with the grammar. But the other thing we've always found is that learning another language reinforces learning your own. So right. It's not in competition with learning English, which sometimes you hear that argument presented as to why schools aren't studying languages. I don't think that's true.
In your school, when your children are doing their options, are they able to drop languages as a GCSE, or do they have to carry it on and do a language as GCSE?
So what our provision has had to change again as qualifications change. We maintain a policy of languages for all. So not all children will end up doing a GCSE, but they will do some language learning. So it might be a sort of business course. So it's more applied. And we've got that for a sort of small number.
And so is it still popular with the young people there?
Yes, because we've got the sixth form, quite a lot of the families know that universities will often want to see a good range of GCSEs. It's not just about, you know, the three good A-level grades, and therefore having that breadth of GCSE is very helpful post 18.
I mentioned in the introduction, you say schools are having to cut the number of subjects to focus on headline data. So how tough is it for schools to balance the books, and how much pressure are you under to get to those headlines?
Reasonable pressure, because in effect, costs have gone up for schools, as you'd know, in line with the rest of the economy. And we've got sort of external benchmark data, so it will talk about the average class size and things like that, the number of subjects. And that's the only area where, as a school, sometimes we find ourselves in what they describe as the red. Mm. But we defend that by saying that's actually what we've used our academy freedoms for, which is essentially around curriculum. And to have that choice, you know, across the piece, as you know, not just languages, but art, science and so on.
What do you think needs to be done to ensure that these schools and sixth forms don't become or fall deeper into the modern language desert category?
I think, well, there is a national curriculum review going on. And when the national curriculum was first introduced, it outlined a very strong minimum subjects. And, you know, languages was very much included within that. And that probably lasted for a good, I thought, more than probably, what, 10 to 15 years? So I think actually, you know, I'm not saying the past is always a better place, but I think actually a focus on what the national curriculum used to be would actually serve schools and education very well.